Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
So who wore sneakers this morning? I actually forgot after I asked people who wore sneakers. Okay, who's got laces in their shoes? Let's just start there. Okay, we got a couple laces. Didn't even wear the Nikes. Any Nikes again? Yes, we got one Nike. All right. So if you're wondering what the heck I'm talking about, we are starting to wrap up our Lace Up series, which has been running for, I think, actually like 6 weeks. And I actually have a summary of all the messages that we talked about. Don't worry, I won't read it. But I've never done that before. It's kind of fun. So we talked about how to wear the shoes of peace. We talked about inviting God into the brokenness of our life. We talked about running the right race without detouring, not running backwards, staying hydrated in Jesus, running with Nike victory, and not running alone. So not all those make sense if you didn't hear the message, but all of our messages are now on our website, on our new podcast. So Brian got those up yesterday. So if you're interested, you can go to our homepage on our website, click listen to messages, and they're all there. And they're about, I don't know, 30 minutes each. So, all right. So our key verse has been 1 Corinthians 9:24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown that is perishable, but we do it for a crown that is imperishable. So this whole message series has been dedicated to helping us lace up our shoes practically, whether that means, getting closer to God or wearing or choosing peace or however it is, so that we can actually run to win in our life this year. And I've got a quick shoelace fun fact for you. Did you know you spend at least 2 weeks of your life tying your shoelaces, and it would be faster to go to the moon and back than to tie your shoelaces, or to boil 4,136 eggs consecutively? Please no one try that. So we tie our shoelaces a lot physically, but how are we preparing our hearts? How are we preparing our minds to actually succeed in what God is calling us to do? And so that's what this has been all about. So we're going to start to wrap this up today, and I actually have a thing that we're going to be launching here, which I'm going to talk about at the end, called the Thrive Guide. And I'm really excited to share this. So that's where we're going to end, if you're wondering where I'm going, and we'll do that. All right. And I really need a haircut, so if I keep touching my hair, I apologize. That won't happen by next week. All right. So I wanted to start with this Charles Spurgeon quote: growth can be painful, change can be painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. So growth can be painful, change can be painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. Have you ever gotten to the end of the year and looked back a year ago to the day, like New Year's Day, and thought, have I changed at all in a year? Or, wow, this is how much I've changed, positively or negatively. Anyone ever done that? This year was particularly obvious for me because I wasn't married a year ago. And I think I slept in like, I don't know, we moved like 3 or 4 times over the year. So it's been a big year of change and transition for me personally. So it's really easy for me to, on New Year's Day, wake up and be like, wow, look how much I've changed. But sometimes it's not that easy to remember that or to think about it. And especially if we just kind of get in go mode, we just keep going. And so what we've been talking about, what I want to commend you and commission you with, is how are you going to make this year look different with God than last year? How are you going to make this year's relationship with Jesus different in a positive way than last year? And I've got news for you. Jesus is way more committed to your growth than you are, right? He's way more committed to your healing, to your freedom than you are. So I'm not asking you to work extra. It's more, the more I surrender to what God is doing in my life, the more I'm going to grow and the more I'm going to change the way he wants me to. So 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I love this. The Greek root word for body is sozo. Isn't that interesting? So if you don't know what that means, it means to be healed, it means to be saved, delivered, and rescued. So God is saying here, glorify me with your wholeness. As you get more whole, as you get more delivered and healed, and as I rescue you, you bring me glory. We actually get to worship God as we journey in our wholeness. Isn't that amazing? But he's also talking about that we are not our own and we were bought at a price. And so I want to just open by talking about belonging for just one second. Charles Spurgeon said, "Nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong," right? So God was showing me, like, if Natalie, because she's like a millionaire, right? She buys me a beautiful house, and I'm over in my studio apartment, and Natalie's like, "Come over, like, look at this beautiful place," but I don't know that it belongs to me. I think it belongs to her. I might come over and stay for a second, but I'm not going to move in with her, right? That'd be really rude. But if Natalie hands me the keys, then I know it belongs to me and I have access to it and it's mine, right? And so I think sometimes we don't realize what we are counting as ours that we should count as ours and what we are counting as ours that we shouldn't. If we feel like we belong to shame, or we feel like we belong to condemnation, or we belong to stress or trauma, we're not going to leave that because we feel it's our own. But if we realize that God bought us with a price so that we can belong to his love, we can belong to his forgiveness and his mercy, then we're going to go back to his love because that's our home. Does that make sense? So God was really showing me this. Brian and I had anybody else have kind of like a stressful week at all? I feel if you live in Ithaca, by mid-February, you get this impartation download of patience because of the weather. And I feel like the weather like starts to get to me more and more. Anybody else have that? I know there's like an actual diagnosable thing with like it makes you depressed and stuff. So if you have that, I don't know if I have that, but I've wondered. But this week was a little bit difficult for Brian and I. And I began to realize, well, Jesus said, well, what does your marriage belong to? Does your marriage belong to me? Because if you think your marriage belongs to the mistake yesterday, you're going to keep going back to the mistake yesterday. Or if you feel you belong to what you messed up with, you're going to keep going back to it. So my question is, where do you keep going back? Where do your thoughts keep going back to? Where do your emotions keep going back to? Because where you keep going back to, you belong. And you were bought with a price, and God wants you to belong to him. He wants you to belong to the freedom that he died to give you, to the peace of mind that he died to give you. And there's a place that God is calling us to here where we have a choice of belonging. Where do we belong? Is this making sense? This really was speaking to me. This is more of a personal message for me. But a few scriptural examples. Ruth, if you don't know these, you can write down these names and look up these Bible characters. Ruth had a choice to belong to grief and loss or belong to God, right? Ruth in the Bible is a story. Her husband dies, and she has this choice. She can go back to her family, or she can follow her mother-in-law, and God gives her a whole new life, and she actually becomes a great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus because she chose to not belong to grief and loss. We talked about Elijah a few weeks ago. Elijah had a choice whether to belong to exhaustion and self-pity, right? He thought he was the only one alive that loved God. Anyone ever felt that? Maybe in your family, right? Maybe not in the world, but maybe in your family. And it's just so easy to belong to exhaustion, to belong to self-pity, or to belong to God. Esther had a choice to belong to abandonment as an orphan, or to belong as a queen to God, right? How about King David? He had a choice to believe he was kind of rejected by all his brothers and just left as a shepherd, or he was chosen as a king. Or Paul. How about Paul in the New Testament? He belonged to his past. He belonged to his horrible mistakes he made persecuting Christians, right? Or he belonged as a son of God and a disciple of Jesus. Do you follow this? This is so important, because if we feel we belong to our past, we'll never move into our future with Jesus. And this whole series has been about taking the next step. But if we feel like we don't deserve to take the next step, or we can't get closer to God, then we'll just go in circles forever. And so I want to just speak this out, because I felt so much power on this from God. Our health belongs to God, not sickness. Our marriage belongs to Jesus, not negative patterns or last week's failure. Our schedules do not belong to stress. Our schedules belong to the one who holds time in his hands. Our future does not belong to the trauma of our past, but to the Redeemer of all things. And I wanted to speak this out over each one of our hearts and over our minds. 2022 does not belong to the trauma of 2020. It does not belong to the trauma of 2021. It doesn't belong to the bitterness or to condemnation or to the failures we've had in our past. And I don't know about you, but I needed to hear that. We were in a leadership meeting Monday, and I think it was you, Caleb. I think it was you. We were talking about 2022, and Caleb's like, and now that we're in 2020, da-da-da-da-da, and I was like, no, we're not in 2020. We're not going back. We're in 2022, right? But anybody who went through 2020, it affected each one of us different. And maybe it didn't affect you much at all. But for some of us, it really did affect us, especially if we were alone during the lockdown, or we were helping people during that time. But I felt like God wanted to break off of us that this year belongs to last year, or belongs to the year before. It belongs to God. And I think some of us need to realize that and let that set us free in Jesus. Amen? Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Where we belong defines our identity and our direction. And so are we belonging to what's around us, to stress, to our past, and letting us define that in our direction? Or are we belonging to God and what he has for us? And there are over 90 verses in the Bible describing God as our refuge. Whether it uses the word refuge or it's just describing a characteristic of a refuge. But there are over 90 times of God being described as our refuge, as our safe place. And I don't think God would have put that in the Bible if we didn't need a safe place. Yet, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I need a safe place in God, I'm like, again? Why do I need to? Anybody else? It's like a life hits you and it's like, man, I got to go back to God and get a safe place. This isn't new, right? For 2,000 years, he's been a safe place to humanity. He knew we needed one. But what's important is, if we are going through the valley of the shadow of death, if we are going through a storm, we do not belong to the storm. We do not belong to the valley. We belong to God, right? We're not a victim to the valley. We're not a victim to the storm. And I think that's why in the New Testament, Jesus is found sleeping in the storm, right? That's always a really strange Bible verse if you haven't read it. But he's sleeping in the storm, and his disciples have to wake him up. And I don't think he was being insensitive, right? Because God wouldn't do that. But he was showing us he doesn't belong to the weather, right? But just because I have that house that Natalie bought me doesn't mean that a storm isn't going to hit it, right? How many have wanted to buy a house in Florida? Anybody? True confessions here, right? No? Okay, well, I'm like, me, right? Warm weather and a beach. I would love that right about now. Every February, I think of Florida, right? And it doesn't help that Pastor Tom and Jordy are down there, right? So if they call me, they're like calling me from the beach, although it's a little cold actually where they are, but still the beach, right? But just because I have a house down there doesn't mean, it may belong to me, but it doesn't mean that a hurricane can't hit it, right? But it's still mine. And so sometimes I think that we get this idea that when we belong to God, it means that no bad weather is going to come our way. But that's not what God promised. What God promised was when we belong to him, even if the bad weather comes, it doesn't need to take us out because he is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our safe place, right? And so this is why where we belong is so important to God. So I'm going to start bridging this into our Thrive Guide, which I'll hand out here in just a second. But where we belong is important, and knowing where you belong right now, if we're really honest, I think one of the biggest things that can hold us back from taking the next step in Jesus is denial. Anyone ever been in denial? Like, I'm doing great. We're just going for it. And then you realize, you know what? I haven't actually cracked my Bible open in like days. Or, you know, every time I open my mouth with that person, something comes out that I really don't want it to, right? Well, it's not about being self-condemning in that place, but it's about realizing maybe you need some help from Jesus in that place. And so when I was in London for my life coaching training, I'm absolutely horrible with maps. Anyone who's good with maps? Any good map? Okay, next time I go on a trip, I'm taking one of y'all with me, right? So I had this little map of London that was like this big. And I had folded it all up, and I found where I was on the map, and I, like, X'd it, and I was trying to get to, like, some cool store or something, right, on my day off from the training. And so I would go to a corner, and then I would turn where I was supposed to on the map, and I would get to the next corner, and then I would lose myself on the map. And then I'd have to ask someone at that corner where I was, and they would help me, point me out on the map, and then I'd get to the next corner, and I would lose myself again. I hopefully have grown. This was about 8 years ago. I'd like to say that I have matured as a human being with maps. But for some reason, every corner I got to, I didn't know where I was. And I literally was asking multiple people. It was a joke. It was like really embarrassing. If someone had actually been like following me, they would have been like, who is this person? But I made it to my destination. But I never would have made it to my destination if I hadn't realized where I was first, right? And so a lot of times we focus on Jesus, which is exactly what we're supposed to be doing, right? But sometimes it's important to say, wait a minute, where am I right now? I'm not just going to push through blindly to get to Jesus. I'm going to let Jesus, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, but if Jesus is pointing something out in my life of where I am, if I am dealing with a trauma, if I am dealing with bitterness, if I am dealing with an addiction, if I am dealing with a negative pattern that is hurting me and someone around me, God isn't just asking us to keep going in that. He's asking us to take a step out of that, and he's going to help us with it. Does this make sense? Are you guys following me? Because I think sometimes it's really easy to, if you're saved, if you've asked Jesus into your heart to become a Christian, and then you just kind of get lost going to church. And it's like, well, how do you know if you're growing? I don't know. I'm going on Sundays, right? But God is saying, no, he wants to work in us. He wants to renew our minds with his truth in his scripture. He's inviting us to take a next step in him. And he's not inviting us to be in denial of what's going on in our life. He actually is committed to our freedom and our healing more than we are. Is this making sense? So Ephesians 4:14 through 15, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature, everyone say mature, body of him who is the head, that is Christ. When we realize that we don't belong to our past, or we don't belong to bitterness or anger or an addiction, then we actually start to realize we belong to God, and we start to mature. And God cares about us maturing. He cares about us growing. Our name Thrive means to grow and mature. So if you're coming to this church, whether you know it or not, every time you say, I'm going to thrive, it's one of the reasons we changed our name to Thrive. It was awesome because it was like every time you say I'm going to thrive, you're making a positive, prayerful declaration that I'm going to grow today. I'm going to grow and mature, right? I'm going to thrive today. Get it? It was like a fun little play on words that we didn't actually mean until we said it the first time. And they were like, oh, that's so cool, right? But sometimes we need to remind us, I'm going to go thrive. I'm going to go mature. not because I'm going to do more works or I'm striving to be a better person, but because my eyes are on Jesus and he cares about me and he doesn't want me stuck in a place I don't belong. He wants me in the place I belong with him. Amen? And so I want to hand these guides out. Caleb, could you do this with Judith? That'd be awesome. They're right there. I don't know if we'll have enough. I think we will. So I'm going to break these down for just a second. Try not to be too distracted by them. Don't open it yet, okay? Because I'm going to keep talking for a second, and then you can open them. So this coming year, we as a church, we've got new missions projects that we're committed to. We're going to be doing more outreaches as soon as the weather thaws a little bit. And we're committed to helping people meet Jesus and be saved and be transformed by him practically, whether they have practical needs that need to be met, spiritual or emotional needs. We have a Christian licensed counselor that works out of our building here. We care about growing our church, right? So who here has a heart to grow our church? Anybody? And I've got great news for you because our church is growing. Sometimes it doesn't always look like that because not everybody shows up on the same Sunday. But I can tell you we are growing and it's fantastic. But a growing church, in order for us to grow, we need to grow, right? So say I am the church, right? So if you don't understand that concept, you can ask me after. But we are the church. This building is not the church, right? We, the church, own the building, right? We are the church. And so if we're going to be a growing church reaching the lost, then each one of us needs to be growing. Are you following here? If none of us choose to grow this year, but we get a bunch of people in, it'd be great. But God cares about growth inside and out, not just outside or inside, right? He cares about all of it. And so we just made this Thrive guide. And inside, now you can open it if you want. Don't read this whole long paragraph I wrote because you can read that after. But this Thrive guide, has anyone ever come here, it's okay to be honest, and been like, what's my next step, right? So we talk about groups and we talk about serving and all that, but you know, a couple years back, we actually used to run a ministry school here. So every Sunday afternoon, if you wanted to grow in your faith and be more aggressive in your growth in faith and more intentional, you could actually attend our ministry school. But we stopped that after a while, and we didn't have an alternative, really. So we just made this, and this outlines two different phases that you might find yourself in, okay? Now, if you know our church, you know we are not really an intellectual church. I have nothing against being intellectual, and we have some people really gifted intellectually, so we celebrate that. But we love moving in the Holy Spirit, not boxing ourselves in. This is not us boxing anybody in. I just want to put that out there, okay? But God does love it when we're organized. So this is simply to be used as a resource if you're looking for a resource in how to grow in your faith so that you're not left wondering, well, what could I read on that or what could I do? So I want to just go over it. Discover Jesus and thrive in Jesus. So these are two different phases. So number one, say discover Jesus. All right. So you might be in the place of discovering Jesus if you are, if you're still searching for Jesus. If you haven't asked Jesus into your heart yet through salvation, you know, we believe in this church that in order to be saved, it's a really simple prayer. You just invite Jesus into your heart. And if you've done it, you think, or if you haven't done it, you think it's too simple. But once you invite Jesus in, he changes everything. And isn't it incredible? You know, Pastor Tom had an open vision of Jesus with his arms out. And he had this incredible God encounter getting saved. I got saved when I was like, I don't know, maybe 3 years old or something. I don't actually remember. So everybody's got a different story, whether you had a radical vision of Jesus, whether he saved you out of an addiction of lifestyle or whatever it is. Every story is different. No story is better than another. But if you're discovering Jesus and you're in this moment in your life, you are about to get saved or you're looking and you're thinking about asking Jesus into your heart. And in this place, we want to invite you There are a few actions that you can take. I'm not going to go over them. You can read them. There are a few actions. We recommend reading the book of John. There's a Bible study app called YouVersion that's really fantastic. It's really easy. You can like look up different topics, and they pop up little things on your phone. If you're a phone person, it's been really great. We recommend the book Crazy Love by Francis Chan, and How Good Is Good Enough by Andy Stanley. So these are all some books that can help you if you're trying to figure out who is God, how does this whole thing work? Because we don't want to leave you wondering what that is. But if you're in this place, a few roadblocks, everyone say roadblock. So in keeping with our running theme, how many know if you're running and you hit a roadblock, it is not good, right? So a few roadblocks, if you're in this Discovering Jesus moment in your life, are that you think you are a Christian if you are good enough, or maybe if you go to church, right? Which if you ask anyone here who's gone a few times, you know, we're definitely not good enough. And even though going to church is really crucial and part of the heart of the gospel, it doesn't make it so that we can go to heaven, right? It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. And then maybe in this moment of discovering Jesus, your prayer time is more focused on your needs and you live in a more me-centered frame of mind. So it's less about others and it's more about me. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself and focusing on your needs in prayer, but if you feel like you're just constantly in that place, you might be in this moment, and we'd love to pray with you and kind of see a next step. So does that make sense? I feel like I have like switched to my teacher mode or something, which I don't normally do. So please just keep going with me here. The second phase that you might find yourself in is thriving in Jesus, which again means you're growing or you're maturing in Jesus. I love this scripture, Ephesians 3, 16 through 18. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. So if you're in this moment, one of the greatest things you can do is to start to understand or to start to receive the length and the breadth and the width and the height of God's love for you. So to become the biggest receivers of God and then the biggest givers of God, because he died to be with us now, not just when we get to heaven, right? And so this is divided into a little bit more of an organization thing here. We've got pour in and pour out. Has anyone ever been stuck pouring out and you're just like continuously pouring out, and you're like, why am I feeling like I'm burning out? Because I'm just pouring out, right? I've been there. And so I divided these into two sections so you could kind of do a heart check and be like, you know what? I might find myself doing a lot more of the pouring out than the pouring in. And if you find yourself in that position, it's a little red flag to rewind just a second and start pouring in the way God died to be with you and to pour into you. Are you guys following? And so there are a couple different actions here. I'm not going to go into all of them. And then on the other side, we have different reading ideas. So we have some books on hearing God's voice, identity in Christ and wholeness. There's a book in here, Killing Kryptonite. That's fantastic for breaking free out of an addiction. Brian, when he was breaking free out of an addiction to pornography, that book really helped him. Evangelism, men and women specific. Leap into Love, that's for women. That is a book a lot on self-image and helping you get out of shaming your body or how you see yourself. And then we have Relationships and Community, which is pretty self-explanatory. You've got a marriage book, but then you've got Keep Your Love On and Boundaries, which is not just for marriage at all. You could use that in your family or in your workplace if you're single. So we wanted to share this with you because if we're going to take a next step and we're going to preach on it for 6 weeks, I thought we better give some next steps so that we didn't spit out at the end of this message series and be like, well, I'm supposed to take a next step. What do I do, right? And so we're going to have these. We'll have these always available at the welcome desk. And then if you need to order a book, you can do it yourself. Or if money is an issue, please talk to us because we don't want that to be an issue. But why don't you just stand on your feet as we're ending here. I'm only doing that so that we don't fall asleep here in the last 5 minutes. But I want to leave you with this question. Where are you, and what is the next step God is inviting you to take? All right? Where are you, and what is the next step God is inviting you to take? It might be to take an action from here and take it on as a challenge. But this isn't a checklist. This is just supposed to be a resource, right? But it might be to do to read a book. You could read a book and do it with someone here, or some of these books we actually do in our men's and women's groups, specifically as studies. It might be that God is showing you that you've actually been belonging to the wrong thing, and he wants to set you free and invite you into a belonging relationship with him even this morning. Maybe you've got an addiction or a negative pattern that maybe you've never even told someone about, and God is saying you don't have to belong to that in 2022. Maybe God is saying he wants to set you free from a mindset that 2022 is just going to repeat like last year or the year before, and he wants to set you free into a better place and a new perspective in him. So I just want to close with Philippians 3:7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ, as I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And we know that in that we also become like him in his resurrection, right? So I'm just going to close this out here with a prayer. God, I just thank you that right now you are showing each one of us the next step you are calling us to take. God, it's not out of striving, but the whole purpose is to know you. To know you more, to know the power of your resurrection, to know the power of your love that leaves the 99 to find the one lost one. God, I thank you right now that you are pouring out your breakthrough on every person here. Father, to anyone who is dealing with that addiction or that negative cycle or the wrong frame of mind, one thing I had forgotten to say, if you feel like your self-talk is something you wouldn't want to say to somebody else as counsel, that's a good warning flag that you might be belonging to the wrong thing. It might be time to take a step forward in Jesus. And so, God, I just thank you that you are renewing our minds, that you are removing destructive thoughts, that you are removing destructive patterns in our lives, that you are healing trauma. Father, we know that sometimes that looks like a process, and we don't reject the process. So, God, I thank you for guiding us in the process of healing, guiding us in the process of taking the next step, and giving us the courage to do it, because you are right there next to us as we run after you and run to win in our finances, in our health, in our relationship with you first and foremost, but in our calling, in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, whatever season of life we are in our school or our workplace, we choose to follow you, God, and we choose to run to win this year. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I want to encourage you, take this with you. A few of these books are in the back table. They're not for taking. They are from Pastor Tom's library, if you've ever been in his office, which I don't think anyone has because it's got so many books in it you can't get in. Those are from his office, so we're not going to steal his books, but a few of those are from this. If you really, really want one of those books today, talk to Natalie and we'll figure out a way to get it to you. But I encourage you to take this seriously, not as a checklist, not out of duty, but out of every single one of these things, the purpose is to get to know Jesus more. How is he calling you to get to know him more this year? Whatever that looks like for you. So that's our challenge to you. Be a witness for Jesus. If you would like to get to know Jesus more, I'd encourage you to come up to the front. Pastor Caleb will be here to pray. If you would like to hear a prophetic word, we believe that God is still speaking today. He likes to encourage us. He likes to fill us with hope and healing. So if you'd like a word from God, we encourage you to come up too. Otherwise, you can say hi to Natalie, and God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.